Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca, your home smart speaker, and of course up on the TSN app and the iHeartRadio app. Al's brother will be back with the picks for tomorrow's football games. Graham Dillette will help us in that. I have to ask Graham for some tips, I think, for NFL picks, for my swing. I'm dialed in the basement, man. I got the chipping apparatus going downstairs, and it is money. I'm down here all day just chipping away. I got the new MG3 from TaylorMade. That club is absolutely butter. And I'm just putting in hours. 5 months until we can tee it again.
Buddy, depressing. You can't. I can't hear it anymore. I can't. Because I've told you. Chipping lesson, putting lesson. But you won't do either.
I'm working on it in the basement. Did you not just hear me? I'm putting in 4 months. I got the putting mat. I've got like a little kind of ramp that my kids use that filters the ball back. It's like a do-it-yourself golf chipping machine.
I know, but that's I already money. Explained to you. I'm probably a 5 times better putter than you. And I went and got a quick little lesson from the guys at Modern Golf. I don't know what. It'd take you 20 minutes. That's
yeah,
it.
I have to do that. I don't disagree with you on that. My putting is so pathetic. You know what is going to be so difficult for me to overcome is last round I played, I had about a 6-footer for birdie on 18.
And you missed it.
Not only did I miss it.
You 3-jacked it.
I 3-jacked it. And
that leaves a taste.
Oh, dude, I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you what was on the line. Like, it's sickening what was on the line. And I stuffed a hybrid to 6 feet on a tough hole. And I got up there.
18 at Coppenwood?
No, it wasn't 18 on Coppenwood. It was a different course. But I stuffed one. And I was inside everyone else. And it was go time. And I 3-jacked it. And it was like weird because I was leaving and everyone was like, all right, we'll see you, you know, in 5 months. But no one wanted to talk to me because like steam was coming out of my ears.
Was it flipped into a situation where you were about to win all the cash and the 3-jack made you pay all the cash?
Yes, more or less, pretty much close to that. It was, wow. I think it was one of those where if I hit the putt, I was going to take everyone down for a lot. And then if I made the comebacker, I still was going to take a chunk. But because I 3-jacked, I basically like was a wash with everyone or lost, you know, a little bit. It was pathetic, absolutely
Dude,
pathetic.
There is nothing worse than having the 6-foot birdie putt, but then also missing the comebacker.
Yeah.
Garbage.
Horrendous. Because I blew it past the hole, which, again, amateur idiot, where I'm like, I'm making this. Like, I'm not going to shortchange the putt. Go, and it was a really tough downhill snake putt, and I didn't baby it, and I blew it past, and it was pathetic. And I got to chew on that for like 4 months. 4.5 months, and the putting mat in my basement isn't going to cover for it. But, yeah, it's something you're right. I should look into that. My wife keeps asking me, like, what do you want for Christmas? Maybe I should ask her for a putting lesson, chipping lesson, something. But, anyway, Graham Dillette in a little bit, Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider. Tomorrow is U.S. Thanksgiving, and we thought about throwing around, you know, power rankings and stuff, different food items, but I think we should just play the famous John Madden turducken clips. Remember when Madden would do this every year for like 20 years?
Yeah.
And I think this was his first year at ABC/ESPN. He was up in the booth and with Al Michaels, and this was an annual tradition. It was a Monday nighter, week of the U.S. Thanksgiving, and John Madden breaks down turducken and how you have to operate with this bad boy. Let's play the clip. Let's hear it because it's one of the great moments in sports TV history.
Here's how you slice it. See, a lot of people don't know. You have to slice it down the middle. See, and then you slice it across this way. Because what it is, it's a deboned chicken stuffed in a deboned duck stuffed in a deboned turkey with dressing between the chicken and the duck and the duck and the turkey. So as you cut down that way, you go turkey, dressing, duck, dressing, chicken.
Like, he just owned the turducken, man. And I couldn't think of anything more repulsive. And yet, such an American cuisine. Stuffing meat inside of meat.
Dude, all the Americans have been talking about it, and I'm telling you, stuffing is overrated nonsense.
Well, that's
God, my
garbage.
Mom's is good maybe, but I garbage. Stuffing is garbage. It's bread rolled up with spices on it and croutons. I don't know what it is. I think stuffing's terrible. Cranberry sauce? Who on earth puts cranberry sauce on anything?
I'm with you on that. It's brutal.
Ham? I got no time for a ham.
I got ham. A honey-baked ham? A glazed ham?
No. It's salty. It's kind of weird-looking. It's gross.
No,
hams are out as well. I don't get it. All I eat is mashed potatoes and a little bit of turkey and gravy on it.
Well, what about turducken, though? Like, I've never had duck. So
dude,
duck,
I don't even know what a turducken... Like, what the hell John Madden was talking about there? I have no idea.
Deboned chicken inside of a deboned duck... Inside of a deboned turkey.
No, turkey
and chicken I'd be down with, and the stuffing and all that in between would be awesome. But duck, I don't know.
Ducks, it's just garbage. There's a lot of overrated things about it that are nonsense.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, and turducken being one of them. I don't think I'll ever be in the presence of a turducken, and if I am, I'm never going to partake in the cuisine of turducken. It's just not ever going to be a part of my protocols. So Al's brother, Graham Dillette, later on. The Leafs are in action. They're in L.A. taking on the Kings tonight. And to get into that, among some other stories throughout the NHL, here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. What's happening, Dregs?
Hi, fellas. So I'm listening to this conversation, and I'm thinking about it. And I grew up in a farming community in Saskatchewan. So squirrels, basically everything was fair game, right?
To eat?
Yeah. Now, I will say this. I never ate a squirrel, but I know people who have eaten squirrels.
Like a squirrel on a bun scenario?
A squirrel on a bun.
I don't know. How else are you going to come to the idea of, hey, little Jimmy, like, here's a squirrel on a bun. How else are you eating squirrel?
Well, again, since we're going down this path, I would say maybe in a rabbit stew where you hide it with some potatoes and carrots and things like that, and maybe a chunk of squirrel falls in. I don't know. I never ate it.
How are your buddies, cavemen?
How do you know you didn't, Dregs? This is what's terrifying about a stew in the
prairies. Okay, hold on. Now, Hayes, you're getting into deep territory here. So I would have been... I wouldn't have been a teenager, but I'd been between 10 and 12, and a neighbor played a trick on my family where they brought these steaks. You know, we just butchered, it's great, we lived on a farm, small town in Saskatchewan, turned out to be horse.
Oh.
And now I know there are people listening that are going, back in the day, people ate horse. In my day, we did not eat horses. We rode horses. They were pets. So I apologize to anybody who I offend. But, I mean, honest to God, that was where I grew up. So when you guys talk about turducken, I'm thinking about the things that I experienced as a kid. And turducken would have been... we're happy to have that on.
Yeah,
the plate.
Turducken. Yeah. You would have had squirrel inside of a chipmunk inside of a horse. That's what your cuisine would have been.
Yeah, squirrel into a skunk, into the horse, on the table.
Oh, you can't eat skunk. Everybody knows that. There's no eating of the skunk. Yeah.
How dare you? Yeah, I don't know, man. The Saskatchewan stew would terrify me. Come on,
it would be
stew.
No good.
What's in there? Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Stay away from squirrel mini burgers.
Just a little stay away from it.
Yeah, for sure. with Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. So, Leafs in LA taking on the Kings. And, there's been a lot of chatter about Matthews and his 5-on-5 play and Philip Deneau being, I would suggest, we had this conversation earlier, Dregs. When I think of games 5, 6, 7 last year, the poster boy of that success for Montreal for me was Deneau because of how well he played, the amount of minutes he played, and who he matched up against, and how he completely neutralized Matthews and Marner. I think it's actually a perfect opportunity for Matthews to break out against Deneau because Deneau's looking for the matchup tonight. Where do you stand on Matthews, the 5-on-5 play, and the ability for him to potentially break out tonight?
Well, you know, your point is well made, and I like the matchup for sure, for all of those reasons. You know, is Phil Danault going to be as motivated as he was? I guess. I mean, you know, pro athletes are motivated to perform every single night. I'm not buying as much into this quote-unquote slump that Matthews is in 5-on-5. And, you know, Oak should speak to this more than I. I mean, he probably has multiple times. You know, it is about the chances. Sometimes the puck doesn't go in. But you look at the history of Austin Matthews as a goal scorer in the National Hockey League, and it, because we're dissecting his inefficiency 5-on-5, I mean, the guy is head-to-head with Alex Ovechkin through three-plus seasons of even-strength goals at 94, and that's going into, I believe, tonight. So I'm less concerned with Matthews' 5-on-5 contribution because I think inevitably it's going to come. But tonight is a challenge. This whole Pacific Division swing is going to be tough. San Jose is going to be a pushover, and Anaheim's been a good story. So I think this is a challenge across the board.
If anything, Darren, I think it's a situation where Matthews has got to deal with this adversity, and it's not massive adversity, but it's something where the dream scenario of him every time he's stepping on the ice and the puck going on in the net is just not happening right now, and he might have to sit himself down. He might have to pay attention to some video, watch something, I don't know, do something different. I think it's actually good for him because it's not always a joyride in the National Hockey League.
Couldn't agree more, and look, I mean, you know, look at the athletes that come through Toronto who come into Toronto and then leave Toronto and love Toronto. And it's all a part of that, right? Like, if you're going to be a superstar and you're going to make superstar dollars, then you're going to face tough questions. And there's going to be periods and stretches of your season that get amplified and sifted through a microscope where you go, come on, really? We're talking about this? But it's real. And I'm not trying to deflect from Matthews because he's a goal scorer. And goal scorers, as we see in Alex Ovechkin, almost night in and night out, find a way to put the puck in the net. And it doesn't matter if it's 5-on-5 or it's on the power play. Ovechkin seems to find a way to score goals. But if you're Matthews and you're trying to dissect, you're looking at your own game, but then I expand that and I'm like, okay, well, how much of this experiment that we're seeing has to do with the line juggling? And again, I'm not being critical here of Sheldon Keefe, but I'm looking at what's going on that left side. Bunting is there for now. How long is he going to stay there? And if it's not Bunting, who is it? Like, they seem to be a little bit out of sync in their top nine trying to figure that out. And that shouldn't really have a whole lot of impact on Matthews, but maybe it does to some degree.
Dregs, what do you think the evaluation process is going to be for guys that are injured right now, whether it be a Price or Drew Doughty? His name came up because Toronto is playing Los Angeles. I mean, is it they're going to come back and it's going to be a quick evaluation time? You get three or four games? Or because the list is coming out shortly after some of these guys return. How's that all going down?
Yeah, you know what? Oh, it's going to be interesting to see how that, actually transpires. And in terms of naming Team Canada or any of the Federation teams, it's going to depend on when they actually have a drop-dead date. Now, we've thought of it being January 10th, but there's a little bit of wiggle room in that from an NHL and a IIHF, an IOC, and a local Olympic Federation perspective in Beijing as well. So they may have a little bit of wiggle room on that. For me, from a Canadian perspective, I think it's obviously Carey Price's job to lose. And then you can get a little bit more crafty as to who's playing into a position. You know, you talk about Drew Doughty. You know, he's been hurt. You know, has he had the greatest year? No. You know, but he's still an experienced guy that is going to be a pretty important part, I think, of the Canadian Olympic team. And then you look up front, and everybody's talking about Mangiapane out of Calgary, and because of his goal-scoring press and all that, Is he going to play his way in? Maybe, but who's he bumping out? I mean, it's a terrific conversation and, you know, subject to debate that we're going to have for at least a few more weeks.
Oh, yeah, for sure. With Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. Calgary wins again last night, and they have just not slowed down at any point this season. They're currently sitting atop the Pacific Division. They're tied for first overall in the league. They've got a plus 30 goal differential, which I believe is the best in the league. Daryl Sutter deserves a ton of the credit.
Yeah.
How much buzz are you picking up on around the league just having standard chats? How often is Daryl Sutter just coming up, you know, unprovoked because of how well he's got that team rolling?
Well, like a fair bit. And, you know, when you try and dissect, you know, the players who have played for Daryl, either current or past, you know, you come up with a pretty diverse opinion on whether he's a good coach or he's a great coach or he's, just, you know, kind of a task sergeant type of guy. I mean, I'm in the opinion, never played a minute for Daryl, obviously. He's a good coach because I don't think that he overanalyzes things. Like, the message that I'm getting out of Montreal is that the players are getting fed up, as an example, of Dom Ducharme just trying to overcoach. And, you know, he's got a technique for this, and he's got an email, and he's got a this, that. Oh, you know this. I mean, Brian, you talk about players who have gone through the state. Sometimes you just need to play. You don't need to read, and you don't need to listen. You just need to play. Daryl is one of those coaches who doesn't do that. Like, he identifies the strengths and the weaknesses of each player. He puts them in that position. As long as they play that way, then they're going to be successful, and hopefully he's in, you know, he has that same level of success. When it comes to, you know, coaching, it's all about the goaltending, isn't it? You know, you got Markstrom, who's back playing the way he can play, and you got Vladar, who's backing up, and he's been terrific in Calgary as well. So there's a lot of good elements, but for me, Daryl Sutter is right near the top of that list.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there's a bunch of games in the NHL tonight. It's going to be a fun one. Enjoy it, Dregs. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, boys. Thank you.
There's Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. The Saskatchewan Stew. You better watch yourself if you're out there. The old Saskatchewan Stew. You have no idea what's in there.
Everyone, please dig into the squirrel sliders.
Yeah. Squirrel on a bun. There. Oh, look at Joe from the bridge. He found it. Squirrel. Yeah, that's cuisine. Like, if you ever watched, what was it, Duck Dynasty, man? They used to fire up a little squirrel from time to time.
Dude, anyone brought that, whatever that picture was, to my attention, you will see a car squealing out of the driveway so fast. That is outrageous.
That I agree with. We had that conversation last week about being, I think, rude and ignorant walking in and saying, that's
not
a dish I'm
going. Dude, that thing even looks seasoned. It looks seasoned.
Yeah. We're watching it up on TV. It's it is seasoned. I mean, you better, if you're cooking up some squirrel, you better have, you know, some Frank's Red Hot. You better have some keg spice. You better have everything. Salt, pepper, flour. I don't care what it is, man. You better douse that thing. But that's just not cuisine that I'm ever going to partake in. Ever. Ever. Call me childish, you know, lacking in culture. Never going to happen. All right, Graham Dillette will join us. We'll ask him what he expects out of Bryson versus Koepka, what he took of the three-second viral video of Tiger. I saw Harry Higgs. It looked like to me like he was hitting a wedge. Harry Higgs, I saw today, say he thought he was hitting like an 8-iron.
Yeah, it was an 8-iron.
Was it? How do you know it was an 8-iron?
Somebody in golf sent me a note. My buddy David Muller, he just said it's an 8-iron. He heard from some, whatever. It's an 8-iron.
It doesn't matter, but that would suggest he's been hitting wedges forever. And now he's moving through the bag, right? Like he's that's a sign. And
the bottom line is the sign, I think, Hayes, and we've been talking about this for months. The sign is, I think that 3-second clip means I'm playing at Augusta. We'll have to ask Graham Dillette.
All right, we'll see what Dillette has to say. And Dillette will be a part of our picks. We'll bring Al's brother in here. We'll make our three picks. Dillette always chimes in on Twitter. You can just do it live with us. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Just going through kind of sports headlines, Am I reading Aaron Rodgers and the item COVID toe? Is COVID toe a thing or is it a broken toe? Please tell me COVID toe is not a thing.
Okay, let me break it down based on my knowledge, which is limited.
Don't say COVID. I don't want COVID toe, man.
Here's what I've known for the last 3.5 hours, ever since he did his presser over Zoom, where he stuck his foot up in front of the camera.
Who does that, man?
This guy's losing it, man, because he referenced an injury last week, and it came out that he was going to suffer from an injury
sickening.
For a while. Yeah, and the report came out today that he had COVID toe, which I had never heard of before. Apparently, it is a thing. Like, medically, it is a thing where I guess if you suffer from COVID, you can develop some sort of side effect of COVID that is COVID toe, which is the
Dude, hang on a sec. Do you know what the hell you're talking about?
Obviously, I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I read the report, and then I went online. I'm like, what the hell is COVID toe? Like, I'm trying to get myself informed because I had never heard of this before. I don't know anyone that's had COVID toe, but that was the report, that this guy had COVID toe. And the reason he stuck his foot up and showed people as if anyone was going to decipher something from his foot, like staring at it, like a guy in Milwaukee has a medical degree but happens to write about the Packers on the side. He said, Rodgers, it's not COVID toe, it's a fractured toe. So I don't know if that makes it any better, though.
I don't either, man.
That's the best part. Wouldn't the follow-up be, is that better? Is that it's fractured, or what's the worst diagnosis? Like, what's going to help you win ball games? COVID toe or a fractured toe?
Outrageous.
I don't know. But, yeah, that's a true story, man. This guy, Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what's up with this dude, but he is going to be living in a van down by the river by the end of the season because he's losing his mind.
With COVID toe.
Yeah, possibly with COVID toe. All right, so quickly, we have a pair of Leaf tickets to give away, giving away a clue every single day this week. On Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Your third clue of the week. This Maple Leaf has played in over 1,000 career NHL games. This Maple Leaf has played in over 1,000 career NHL games. All right, it's a big week for golf because Koepka and Bryson are playing their match on Friday, and Tiger Woods went viral swinging a club for the first time in just under a year, hitting
an 8-iron. Also got a guy from Saski who can comment on our last conversation.
That's a very good point. Here he is, one of our favorites, Canadian pro golfer, TSN golf analyst Graham Dillette, joining us here on Overdrive. What's happening, Graham?
Fellas, how are you?
Very good. Yeah, we had Darren Dreger on, who's a Saskatchewan farm boy, and he suggested, well, he didn't suggest it, he stated it, that people eat squirrel on the prairies.
That's something I don't know, but I bet it would be good if you smoked it nicely, yeah.
Dude, what the hell are you talking about? How do you properly cook a squirrel?
No, I've never heard of that one.
Well,
so,
yeah.
Let me ask you, you're on your barbecue all the time. What would you do to the squirrel? You obviously take the fur off it. How are you seasoning this thing?
Yeah, you gotta gut it, take the fur off, and then I'd probably go pretty hot and fast and with some, maybe I'd probably rub it with some canola oil or something like that, some butter, something, just avocado oil, some barbecue rub, and stick it on there hot and fast and just hope for the best. Like, I don't know. What's the best part of the squirrel? The thighs, probably.
It would be. They do have pretty big thighs. They got a good thigh game, the squirrel. They got a decent thigh game. And yeah,
they
man,
can jump.
They absolutely can. So there's got to be something to give there.
Can you imagine you're a young basketball player, you just started dialing in squirrels every day, and absolutely Air Jordan dunks from everywhere?
No one's tried it.
It's worth a shot. People in Saskatchewan probably have.
Are there any hoopers from Saskatchewan that are notable right now?
I don't think anyone
is worth looking into. Yeah. I'm telling you what, I'm going to find that guy from Sasky that does Air Jordan dunks from half court.
We need to find him. And if Squirrel is behind it, we might all have to get into it if we want to get back on the courts. What did you make of the Tiger Woods 3-second 8-iron? What's your professional assessment of that video?
Well, I mean, I've only seen it about 40 million times from everyone who retweeted, and the Golf Channel has it playing basically on repeat. But obviously, from a golfer's perspective and any golf fan, you love to see it. I mean, the guy is why golf is what it is right now. He's why I played the sport, and he's why the purses are what they're at. And his swing looked good. Obviously, he was, you know, just a pretty controlled little 8-iron or whatever it was, but it's a start, and you got to start somewhere. So, yeah, it looked pretty good. The balance was nice. I don't know what he was wearing there on his leg. It's, you know, like full compression thing, so I don't know if he's still dealing with something or if that's just cosmetic or whatever it is, but yeah, it looked good.
By watching that video, and on this show we like to jump to stupid conclusions, so does our boss because he loves Tiger Woods. I say he plays at Augusta National next year.
100%. That's the only reason he's – that's the first thing I saw. I'm like, it's April. That's what he's shooting for right now. I don't think there's any question.
No, I'm with you, man. I hope so. And this is the beauty of Twitter, is that underneath the tweet there's a guy – like there's – 48 handicaps are like, you kind of, I don't know if I love the swing. And it's like, right. Guys are breaking down Tiger's swing. And the last time they played, they shot 128 on a Muni.
100%.
That's the beauty of it. And, yeah, we're all seeing the same picture here, man, that he's got that in mind. And O always talks about it. You've been down there a million times, Graham. Like, the hills and how deceptive it is on TV, like how difficult that is to walk Augusta National. Do you think if he gets the swing dialed in, the most challenging part could actually be him just walking 18 holes day in, day out?
Yeah, possibly. And they've been kind of like, I wouldn't say secretive, but they're not really letting anyone know exactly how this recovery is going and what kind of state that he's in, you know, from a walking standpoint or working out standpoint or anything like that. But even when you're in good shape and you're walking every single week in and week out, 30 weeks a year playing golf, it's a tough walk. You know, there's certain times where you stop and catch your breath before you hit a shot because, you know, it's a bit of a challenging walk. And the side hills are that's the thing that's like hard on guys that have bad knees and hips and ankles, those side hills. And there's a lot of those out there. So, you know, but more than anything, I think everyone is just excited to see him hitting balls, and just the thought of him coming back gets everyone kind of fired up again, doesn't it?
Dude, we were saying, if this is like Tiger's back Masters or maybe Torrey Pines or something, it will get way more coverage just because of social media nowadays. And I don't know, it's like Tiger Woods' comeback will be on steroids, Graham. It would be just nonstop, like range 24/7, walking to the range. It'll be the full meal deal if he plays again this year.
For sure. And it's crazy to think that, this is like crazy to think that if he wins here in 2022 Masters, it'd be a bigger win than his 2019 Masters, which was like out of control, right? Like that was absurd that he even did that. And you can't put anything past him, especially on that golf course and the way that he's, you know, kind of mentally like different than everyone else. Like, you know that he'll at least be mentally ready, and it's just like if his body can hold up and his physical game is there, I mean, why wouldn't you expect him to be in the mix on Sunday afternoon?
I know. I so desperately want to see it just because of the overblown coverage, which may not be overblown, actually. I don't know if we could define that appropriately, because if he does make this return, it'll be basically a year after the accident, 13, 14 months after he almost lost his life. You weren't sure if he was going to walk again. If he gets out there and plays, like live from the Masters on the Golf Channel, it'll be comical how many different angles they're going to come up with for Tiger. And I'd probably feel bad for Hideki Matsuyama. Like the last year's champ will show up, they probably will not mention his name at any point.
It's probably nice for everyone else to completely fly under the radar, in all honesty. And the only person who really handles all that attention well is Tiger, really.
Right.
You know, I think Brooks actually handles it pretty well, like in his own way or whatever. But a lot of guys don't like that limelight or whatever. And Tiger's just lived in it his whole life, and he knows how to do it. And it's probably good for Hideki, really, in all honesty. But, you know, like, who's cheering for Hideki if Tiger's playing next semester, next spring? Like, let's be honest.
Graham, the fall tour, it used to be guys kind of, I think, trying to sneak in an event. It seems like a lot of really good players are playing these kind of events that were never played before. Are you noticing that, or what's up with that?
Yeah, well, I think there's a few different reasons. I mean, with the FedEx pool so big now and being increased next year, guys want to get a little bit of a jump start. You know, I remember my rookie season was the last year that it wasn't part of the wraparound calendar, so it was just like six tournaments at the end of the year to basically to try to keep your job for guys. So no one played other than the guys who are, you know, trying to basically make money to keep their job. And now the purses, so back then the purses were like 4.5 to 5.5 million. This is looking back like 2010. Now these purses are all $7-8 million. Like, there's reason to go play and have a nice Christmas. You know, you have a couple good weeks. Like, what did McKenzie cash there last week? Probably close to $800,000. Like, right. That makes the Christmas ham taste a little bit better. You know what I mean? So, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, with Graham Dillette, no kidding, man. McKenzie Hughes, he loves Sea Island. He loves that RSM, man. He won that back in 16, I think it was. And
Yeah,
he was pretty
dialed
in.
There's a thing, like, when you kind of get vibes on a golf course, and sometimes it's not the course doesn't even suit you, but you played well there, and then you kind of go back there again, and you're like, oh, I played well here once. Why can't I do it again? And you would expect him to, you know, like, have a career at that golf course or at that tournament where, you know, over the course, if you look back, if he has a 15-year career, you'd be like, holy, I mean, this guy made $6 million at that one event because right. He just, you know, you start feeling it. And so, yeah, it was awesome to see. And it was unfortunate that he wasn't able to, like, be right in the mix and put a little bit of pressure on. But, he played great. And there's nothing to hang his head about, that's for sure.
No, it's a lot of money, man. It's a lot of money, and that's what we try to do a few times a week on this show. We pick losers more often than not. We don't really pick winners in the NFL. We pick losers, and then the other guy just wins because he didn't get a say in it, and it actually worked out in their favor. But you're familiar with the way this works. We're going to bring Al's brother in studio here. This is the first time we've ever done this, made picks with a celebrity capper on the line, and Graham Dillette.
Who's a celebrity?
Graham, you are, ew, bud. You're the big NFL dude. You love the NFL. You love putting some scratch on
you
the NFL.
You faded a bunch of hazy
I like
picks.
The gamble, yeah.
Yeah.
I have, actually. I actually have done pretty well fading you, but I think you hit the last one, didn't you, Hazy?
I did hit the last one, but the first two.
And I didn't
crushed.
Give you credit. No. I should have given you credit.
I don't blame you on that, man. Listen, the first two, you're like, all right, fading, and I was like, oh, it's going to fade too, and it did. But Al's brother's in studio. Al's brother, now you got an audience, man. It's one thing to talk down to me and because we don't know what the hell we're talking
fair.
About. Graham
gonna
Dillette
be
knows.
Judged here.
Yeah, how do you feel about this, Al's brother? Can you make picks under pressure or what?
Well, I think I can still some picks. I think I think Graham's probably gonna have some things to fire back with if he doesn't agree with my picks. Some stuff that maybe not be handy, but I'm sure GD's done a little bit of research and maybe he might be able to talk me out of some stuff. I don't know.
All right, here we go. We got a 3-pack, Hazy, and you have the first game, which is an absolute pile of garbage.
It's a pile of garbage. It's an absolute dog's fest. And the Thanksgiving NFL picks are back and brought to you by BookSeats.com. Visit at BookSeats.com to enter the Las Vegas Sports Package giveaway. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. Again, at BookSeats.com on Instagram. Great follow and the go-to getaway in sports right now. Bears -3. This number's gone down. It was 3.5, was it not yesterday?
It was.
Honestly, I think the fact that Matt Nagy got a vote of confidence today by the owner is why the number is moving towards the Lions. And I'm going to agree with that. I'm going to take the dogs here. I think the Lions, they're going to get a win at some point. Dan Campbell.
That is outrageous.
He such loves a garbage pick.
Hang on a sec. So it's -3. You're taking Detroit?
I'm taking Detroit. I'm going to take the points at home with Detroit.
GD,
they love Thanksgiving.
Please comment.
It's their tradition.
GD, please comment.
I'm not a believer in Justin Fields and haven't been since the day that they started him at quarterback, and I'm going Lions money line.
Ooh, let's go. Love the Lions money line. I said that yesterday too, Graham. Look at us. We're fading these two buffoons. Al's brother, I'm sure you have a reason why this is the worst pick in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, wait till you hear this, Graham. Go ahead, Al's brother.
Well, I mean, Justin Fields isn't even going to play tomorrow, actually. It's going to be Andy Dalton who's going to be in there. And look, Andy Dalton has been a decent quarterback for his career. He mustered up some points and ended up getting the cover last week for Chicago. But you take a look at last time these two teams played. Chicago outbeat them. They were a 7-point spread. They covered that. It was a 24-14 victory. And how they did that, they ran the football. It's exactly what they did. You had 158 total rushing yards, and the Detroit Lions are 31st in the league when it comes to stopping the run. You're going to have David Montgomery out there. He's going to do his thing, so it doesn't even matter who's throwing the rock because they're just going to pound the football down the throats of the Lions. They're going to cover. The Bears are 4-1 against teams with a losing record. That's exactly what the winless Detroit Lions are. I love that we are on the Bears tomorrow.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
This is what happens.
If I had a paragraph to read in front of me, I could have come up with something. I just didn't prepare like that.
Graham, it doesn't matter. This guy, he couldn't pick a winner.
Dude, at least you could say one thing. We're prepared. We're prepared.
Absolutely, you're prepared.
And the sharp money right now is on the Detroit Lions. I'll give you that. The sharp money's on the Lions at 65%. But the public is also on the Lions, too. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, because everyone knows Matt Nagy sucks as a coach. And there's 100%. Nothing. The fact that he got the vote of confidence today.
Biting kneecaps
so,
is much better.
Dan Campbell, I don't know if he's any better. He can't be any worse. But this is perfect for Dan Campbell. Biting kneecaps, biting squirrel.
This game, there should be a category on shart money. Where is the shart money on this game? The shart money is on Detroit.
This is exactly what it is. When two of the worst teams in the league and the money's on the worst of the two.
Where's the shart money?
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of that money probably came in, though, when they had the hook at 3.5. Now that it's down to 3, I could see it evening out a little bit and having some more people take that even 3 and be on the Bears.
I would love that extra half point.
All right, GD, here's where we really shine. Next game, Hazy, Al's brother, explain our pick.
Vegas at Dallas. Dallas laying 7.5. Big spread.
That's a big number. That's a really big number. But honestly, last week the Dallas Cowboys let us down. We took them. We thought they were going to go in there and compete with the Chiefs. It just didn't happen. But I think a big reason why it didn't is because they were missing their left tackle Tyron Smith, and the Kansas City defense did a really good job neutralizing him. Tyron Smith is going to be back, and I think that's going to improve the run game and the passing game. The offense, Dak Prescott, they're going to get back on track. You talk about how I think the Bears are going to run the football. The Dallas Cowboys, when they're rolling, when they're rocking, they do the same thing. And the Raiders, just like the Lions, terrible run defense, ranked 29th in the league. So I think they pound the rock. I could see them going in and beating them big. And when you look at the Las Vegas Raiders, a big reason why they were winning early on was because Henry Ruggs was catching some deep balls out there, but more importantly, Derek Carr was protecting the football. He has not been protecting the football over the last little bit. He's been coughing it up as much as Carson Wentz, realistically. Right. I think that continues against a pretty stout Dallas Cowboys defense that limited a Chiefs offense that was rolling.
All right, he's
going to
hang up. Who are we taking? Who are we taking?
We're on the Cowboys.
They're on the Cowboys. Go ahead, Graham, if you're still with us. Can you believe this is what I have to deal with every week.
There's a lot.
I am a Raiders fan. I was at the game, the Chiefs game. It was kind of embarrassing. We hit the over late for a big parlay, so it was worth the trip. Mm-hmm. But I got to go against my team on this one. I go Cowboys big here. I think you're exactly right. They just got no jam left. And they like you said, they can't stop the run. I mean, obviously it's not Patrick Mahomes running the show, but Dak's pretty good, and Zeke, and they got my boy Kellen Moore as their offensive coordinator, former Boise State guy. I think he's going to get a head coaching job pretty soon, and I'm on the Cowboys. I'm going to buy that half point, though. But for the show, I'll say 7.5.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's a big number, and I'm – Everything you detail there, Al's brother.
Do you want the one little piece of news that may go in your favor that I know you're going to love?
Yes.
The Cowboys are 1-9 against the spread in their last 10 Thanksgiving outings.
There it is. They suck at home on Thanksgiving. I that is all I needed to hear. Everything else
I'm
is
a big trends guy, though. I like to follow the trends.
There you go. Well, the trends would indicate the Raiders are going to maybe not only just cover but roll tomorrow. We'll see. All right, the final game, the nightcap, Bills laying 6 at New Orleans. Now, Kamara will not play. Ingram, I believe, is questionable. I think he's going to go. Ryan Ramczyk, a big part of their O-line, not going to play. We know Winston's out. They're quarterbackless. I don't love this game at all, I have to be honest. I don't love the spread because the way the Bills have been playing.
I know.
The Bills have not been playing well. It's a short week on the road. The Superdome is going to be going nuts. But I think the Bills are better than what they've been showing. And I think in the NFL, what you do is you respond. And they have to respond. They got embarrassed at home last week. I think they do. I'm going to lay the points. I'm going to take Buffalo. I'm going to take Buffalo to get back on the horse. Dillette, what do you think of that?
Everything you said for the exact same reasons. That was an embarrassing outing last week, and they're good to go. Josh Allen's too good, man. He's not going to be like that 2 weeks in a row.
Yep.
They got him. All right.
Bills
they did stick. Respond, but it was against Miami earlier.
Look at us two, man. This is not good. This is really not good. Something's got to give at some point here. How's brother? Oh, how do you feel about that? You're on the home team getting six. That's a big spread, man, at home. The Superdome.
I think
that
there's something
in.
Up in Buffalo, I'm telling you. I think, although they did respond, first game of the year they lost to Pitt. Then they went down to Miami and absolutely beat the pants off of the Dolphins. But that's the Dolphins. I do think there might be something up with Buffalo, though. Maybe they stink the join out. Al's brother, comment.
I mean, the New Orleans Saints are going to have an opportunity here just because of the way that the Bills have been playing. Like they've just been stinker after stinker, and a big reason for it is they're missing their right tackle Spencer Brown, who's a third round pick, and when he's out, this team's offense doesn't perform as well because they're not able to protect and they're not able to open up holes for the run game, which they realistically don't run that much. But I can see them maybe keeping it close, but to be honest with you, I think the Bills will also get the win. But
you like the Bills?
A couple of trends that I do like, which me and O will cling on to and hope that do come to fruition. The Bills are 1-3-1 against the spread, and their last five is the favorite. So they're not covering when they're favorited. The Saints, 8-2 against the spread, their last 10 as the home dog, and 4-1 as a home dog when they're the dog by a touchdown or less. So, well, you know, they keep it close. They got good
favorable.
Coaching. Good coaching.
Screens backdoor cover. You know, that's. I think the Bills, this is a must-win for the Bills. I think New Orleans is punting on the season or getting close to it. But, yeah, we'll see.
How about that Taysom Hill contract yesterday? Did you
I
see
know.
That? Bizarre.
Like, they can't, like, Sean
what
Payton can't get away from him. He even, like, it was in a,
it.
Like a four-year deal, as brother, with options and a bunch of guaranteed money.
Well, it's structured in a weird way where he gets, like, bonuses if he plays X amount of snaps as the quarterback. And it's a really bizarre deal, but it's like it seems like he gets an extension every year. But it's a four-year. It was a four-year contract.
And they give him all these bonuses, X amount of snaps as a quarterback, and it seems like they never really want him to be the guy. So
no.
It's really weird.
It's bizarre.
He's proven who he is. He's not an every-snap quarterback.
No.
He can't
He's a trick play guy. He's a side trick. That's
Sean Payton can't get away from him.
Genius play, though, by the GM, if you think about it. It's like, hey, coach, Payton, how many snaps is this guy going to get a game? He's like, three. He's like, okay, we'll make a deal here, Payton. If you get average seven snaps a game, we'll pay you X amount of money. And they're like, perfect, I'll sign here.
Exactly.
Like,
they're going to manipulate it. Like, Payton's just going to be like, I'm not going to let you hit those numbers, for sure.
Exactly.
They're always up against the cap down in New Orleans. He knows it, but – we'll see. All right, man. Well, Graham, good luck, buddy. You're riding
that
the
was,
Haze
That was
wave.
Fun. Hey, Hazy, it was good to be on the same page. Don't sleep on that Florida Panthers -1.5 tonight either.
Okay.
Check it out.
We'll jump on that. Thank you, buddy. We'll do it again soon. There's Graham Dillette, one of the great Canadian golfers of all time and true degenerate. That's why he's one of our favorites. Jumping
sniffing
on the
around
Panthers.
Florida Panthers
Puck
game.
Who they got tonight, the Panthers?
I don't know. It makes me actually think. I had another
checking.
Degenerate buddy write me saying he loves the Minnesota Wild tonight.
The Wild. The Panthers got the Flyers. They're at home.
You know it's
on the
degenerate
Flyers.
When it starts off with I love Minnie tonight. It's like who even pays attention to
I
that?
I had to write him back. I'm like, where are they? In Jersey? I'm like, that is the most degenerate move ever. Florida's at home against, you said Philly, Al's brother?
Yeah, they played last night against Tampa, so maybe they might be a little bit
the Flyers,
tonight?
the Flyers are looking like the second half Flyers, man. Listen,
they're doing
some weird things,
man. I watched them a bunch, and it's one night they're world beaters, like Stanley Cup contenders.
Yeah.
And the other, like you watch them two nights later, and they're a lottery team.
Last year, down the stretch, they absolutely melted.
Cratered.
And you look at them, there's something about the vibe of Philly, the history of Philly, where I always overemphasize who they are and what they have. And Ellis has been hurt all year. They've had some injury problems. But I'm with you, man. When I watched them and we saw the Leafs there a week or two ago, I'm like, I don't see them as that good of a team.
Yeah.
No.
I don't. Like, I don't think they're – put it this way. When we have the conversations about will four teams come out of the Atlantic or will it be three, Boston, Tampa, Toronto, Florida are all better than Philly. 100%.
I know. Philly's just inconsistent. You saw them get dummied by Toronto, and then I watched them a couple nights later. They beat, I think, Boston, or they beat a quality team. And then you watch them last night against Tampa. It's like, is this what you guys got?
Yeah. No, exactly. Exactly. So the picks are in, and the Thanksgiving NFL picks brought to you by BookSeats.com. Get to Instagram, visit at BookSeats.com to enter the Las Vegas Sports Package giveaway. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. We'll come back, wrap up the show, tee up the Leafs and Raptors game. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Leafs and Raptors in action tonight. Raptors down in Memphis. You can hear that right here on TSN Radio. Watch it on TSN. Leafs in L.A. Noodles calling a game in San Jose tonight. The Leafs and Ottawa are both in California. They're just going to crisscross in the state. And Noodles will be back tomorrow.
You stay up for the whole thing?
Yeah, I think I will. Like, I generally get into the game. Like, I'm up till 11:30 midnight. I know you go to bed early, but I'm usually up until 11:30 anyway or midnight. Yeah, and if I'm into the game, I'm in, right?
So. And sometimes at like 10 o'clock's a late start. Sometimes it just zooms by. It's like quick period. It's like, okay, I got one more to go.
Exactly. They do three of these a year, and it's not even because on Sunday in Anaheim they play at 8 Eastern. So you got tonight, you got Friday where they're out in the West Coast. When they play in Vancouver, generally it's a 7 o'clock game. You know, maybe if they're through Alberta or Colorado or whatever, it might be at 9 o'clock. That's it. You know, there's a couple times a year. And I enjoy the California trip. It feels different, looks different. We'll see. We'll see what the Leafs have tonight. We'll see what the Raptors have tonight. Thanks to everyone for tuning in today. All the guests, all the planning behind the scenes. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m. Only 3 digits on the jersey.
We'll chat then.